Okay, hey everyone, welcome back to the Indispensable Agent podcast with your hosts, the Kilner Brothers. So this is the podcast where the indispensable get a dose of inspiration to win the game and outpace market changes. So today we have a special edition of the Indispensable Agent podcast. I think I can say that. We're going to be talking about something that is pretty unique in the marketplace. And it's going to be merging two high-producing real estate teams into one high-producing unit. And our goal for this edition is to give you folks a window into some of the why and how behind a merger of two teams like this works. So I have the two gentlemen who have headed these teams, been at the helm for many years of these two teams that are merging, with me here in the studio. And those guys are Pat Kilner, who you know and love, and Ryan Donovan. Welcome, gentlemen.
Thanks, man.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited.
Didn't know whether I should, you know, chime in as a co-host, or I guess I'm being interviewed today, right?
Yeah, you're being interviewed today. Exactly. Okay. This is it's a special edition and a special edition format.
It's kind of intimidating. Usually people who interview don't actually know you that well, but you kind of know us really well. So I'm going to ask some pretty hard questions.
I do. And there's some background to that. Obviously, you know, you and I have known each other for as long as I have existed and have been in business for the past 6 years together. And Ryan and I have actually been in business together for maybe the past 3 or 4 years. I've been consulting with Ryan's team from a CFO standpoint. Learning a lot actually from Ryan and his team members from that seat. So that's been a great experience. And so now it's really cool that the Donovan Home Team and the Kilner Group just this year, at the beginning of 2019, decided to merge into one high producing unit here at Tower Hill. Mm-hmm. And so this is something so unique in the marketplace. You don't get to see this every day. This doesn't happen every day. And I think there's some really unique challenges and also some really interesting lessons to be learned as we've started on this journey.
Sure. But it's like peanut butter and jelly. Like before you put them together, you didn't know that they were going to be so good together. But now it's just delicious.
Yeah. Good analogy. That's excellent. So I'm going to be asking you guys both some I'll try not to make them too tough, but some questions that are designed to really dive into this and give people not just a surface view of what a merger like this looks like, but a really deep dive.
All right, be gentle.
All right. So for Pat, I'll throw this one to you first. So obviously you don't do something like this. You don't do a merger without a lot of trust. Mm-hmm. And so how did this whole thing come about?
Well, to your point, I mean, it is a lot of trust. It's a lot of years. Ryan and I have known each other probably for almost 15 years, Ryan.
Yeah, every bit of it. Yep.
Yeah. And so we were both within the first year or so of getting into the business and getting licensed up and struggling to make it through those early days. Ryan coming at it from, I think, an investor. I remember our first conversation was really about how you were passionate about the investor side and understanding, you know, how.
Man, I can't believe you remember that.
Yeah, like building wealth through real estate, which is an awesome way to come at it. And I had come from the construction side and, you know, through our family's background. And we talked a lot about that. And just the friendship really budded fast. We were put in touch through a mutual friend, which is really cool. And I think that's how a lot of great friendships happen is, you know, somebody who you know and trust puts you in touch with another person in their circle of trust. And so Mike Dana, if you're listening, thanks for putting us together. And then the natural conversation just kept rolling. And I think pretty early on, I'd say within the first couple of years of us talking, we had the opportunity to be down the hall from each other, you know, for a number of years in the same office. And so we trade ideas almost daily on stuff. And that friendship grew. And I think as we both started to build our teams, I think that's when we started saying, you know, it'd be really cool to figure out how to be in business together. And that's not something you say lightly, right? Yeah. Especially with two guys who are really competitive. You know, we're both athletes. We both, you know, want to route the score. We enjoy leading, and we, I think, you know, early on in my career, I couldn't envision, you know, giving up leadership. And I, that's what it feels like oftentimes when you're doing a merger, like, let me give up leadership. And that's not what it is about at all. It's really about bringing together great people. So I think we've gotten to a point in our careers where we're looking for more. And what we've realized, I think, in building our firms is that it's all about the people that you surround yourself with. And life's too short not to surround yourself with great people who you trust deeply, who you understand their character, and who you realize fill gaps that you can't fill, right? Like, I think we've both gotten to a place where we realize we're not the smartest people in the room, and we're really comfortable with that. And we're excited about the contribution of the other people we get to be in the room with. So being in the room with Ryan for me is awesome. I learn something from him every time I'm in the room with him. And Ryan, you know, just tolerates me, which is great, and I appreciate that. Yeah. But that's really, to me, life's too short, you know. And we're getting up there now. So you know, we got to figure out who we want to spend the rest of our time with here.
Getting up there is a very relative term.
Totally right.
Very relative term. I think you're hanging out with too much with the
too many millennials.
The millennials here in the office.
Oh yeah.
Ryan, what would you say is the biggest factor in making this merger work?
So, well, let me just back up for a second because I want to answer the first part of that, which is, you know, how did this all come about, if that's okay?
Yeah.
And I just had a couple quick points to add. I mean, the two key words that just popped into my mind as you were talking, Pat, is trust and intuition. And like Pat mentioned, we kind of early in our careers, we were in different offices getting started through the mutual friend of Mike Dana. We met. We always felt there was some kind of a synergy or something there that God had placed. And you know, looking back on it now and knowing what I know now about my intuition, like, there was always something there that I thought, hey, maybe there was something that we could try to make this work. And for whatever reason, the timing, this or that or the other, never seemed to fall into place. And I think we can just attribute that to us just continuing to prepare our groups, our teams, and grow as business owners and get better and better with it. And over time, just the right ingredients came together so that intuition kept us coming back to meet with each other. Like every year, I would say at least we would meet at least once or twice just to put our heads together, talk business, talk shop, and see, okay, what. And we would always leave, wouldn't we, Pat? We'd always leave that meeting like, I know there's something there, right? I know there's something there, but we could
go back and talk to Elena. we get to figure this thing out. Absolutely. And I think that's the worry for a lot of folks. You know, this happens very rarely. In fact, I don't know that it happens that often, that two teams merge doing the amount of business that we're doing. I think in some part because I think the person who started it feels like they're going to lose a part of themselves. Like, you bleed, you do everything you can to get this thing off the ground. You feel like you're going to lose part of yourself. And I think that's the misconception. I think it's for me, I know part of being a leader has been growing out of that misconception of wanting to hold on to everything so tightly and allowing other people to be part of your success and your journey as a professional. And I know that's why we've been able to grow to where we have, you know, as our teams have grown. And it's why I think we're ready now. You know, our leadership has grown as well.
Yeah.
Sort of by force of the desire to grow our businesses.
Yeah, and I would say from my perspective, from my seat, that I think that both of you guys have different gifts, similar in some ways, but different gifts. And so that allows for both of you guys to fill roles and to augment each other's weaknesses and strengths.
Yeah,
absolutely. And I think
100%.
It makes a lot from my seat. It it certainly makes a lot of sense. But I also think that, this is my next question, is something like this, a merger of two companies that are already doing a lot of production on their own, right? And are very efficient and have a really high standing in the marketplace, a lot of brand recognition. This doesn't come out of a place of comfort, right? I think you have to have a pretty big vision to make something like this work, right? A goal that everyone is working towards. So Ryan, I'll throw this out to you.
Yeah.
For you, this merger, how does that play into your big vision?
Oh, great question. I think just piggybacking on what Pat just said a minute ago, and the phrase that came to my mind is leveraging success through others, with and through others. And when you grow as an individual in the business world, like Pat and I have and continue to do every day, you realize like your ego gets less and less, and you realize that it takes more of a team and other people to help you accomplish more in that role, in that capacity. So from that standpoint, from the vision standpoint, just seeing an opportunity to be with someone that's like-minded, that shares same values, and has all the tools and systems in place, that combined with our proven systems and tools would just provide that much better of a client experience, was at the core for this, you know, this wanting to come to fruition from the beginning. So I would say that's the biggest thing, is seeing that leverage or that combined effort to provide an overall better client experience, team experience for everyone all around.
Yeah.
And Pat, I would throw the same thing to you.
So the question was, just sort of reiterate it for me.
Yeah. So when you're doing a merger like this, it doesn't come from a place of comfort. It comes from a place of pursuing a big vision.
Yeah.
So how does this fit into the big vision for you?
Well, I think I'll reiterate all the stuff, same stuff, or echo the same stuff as Ryan said. I'll add that I think the market is very different from when we got in this business and we started talking 15 years ago. The market is radically commoditizing the agent, right? What it's doing is saying agents, there's 1.4 million agents in the United States, right? Very low barrier to entry, a lot of folks in the marketplace. And there's a lot of innovation happening on the tech side. There's some disruptive forces. I'm all about, by the way, disruption. The question for me as a business owner is, what am I doing to disrupt my own business so that I can, right? Innovation happens as a result of constant disruption in your own business.
Right.
And the second that you stop disrupting your own business is the second you start to become obsolete to the client. So disruption can take the form. I think we think about it a lot in terms of tech, but it can really take the form. And I think this is where disruption really starts. It's in the right people. And you have to be really comfortable, I think, as an entrepreneur in allowing for disruptive process in your business. And I think the biggest hurdle to that is sort of it's like the Gollum effect. Like, it's mine. I can't let it go. I created this thing. It's mine. Right. And the thing that you really need most is the freedom of allowing other people to help you disrupt what you worked so hard to build and preserve. And to me, as we look at the client experience and we ask ourselves, okay, how can we become indispensable to the client experience, right? As agents, the fundamental, the first thing that comes to mind, it's not just, oh, we need better tech, or, oh, we need this or that. Like, you can go buy all that stuff. Mm-hmm. What you can't buy is the right people in your life to help you think through that next step. And this is really, I mean, it's why people have a great boards of directors at big companies, help those companies constantly innovate and disrupt. We now have another, you know, board member, an awesome board member who's thought about it from his own perspective for all these years. And we get to sit around the table with him and go, how do we disrupt this thing? How do we become even more indispensable to the client? Because it's not only important for us to preserve the business, it's actually fundamentally important for us. From our, we I know for both of our teams, we love the opportunity to serve families so deeply. And I've so enjoyed, I know Ryan has so enjoyed helping other people on our teams do that. Those agents, we owe it desperately to those agents to give them the tools and the coaching and the mindset and the skill set to go and serve people better and better every time. And so that's what it's really about, disrupting both of our businesses so we can keep moving forward and become authentically disruptive, authentically fiduciaries in a deeper way constantly to folks. What does fiduciary mean? It means someone who really puts their interests aside and gives it all to the client. And that's where I think the unity in purpose of the two teams has been so strong. Just as a client service, you know, side of things. And that's the fun of being able to have, you know, Ryan at the table as well.
That's right. No,
I'm glad it answers your question, but.
Well, it does. It answers it for me. I had a feeling I knew what you were going to say.
Oh man.
But, you know, if I'm looking at this, if I'm going to put myself in the shoes of a neutral third party observer who does it already work with you guys and admire both of you, you know, I would say there, when you're doing something like this, is there an opportunity though, or is there the risk of losing the identity of one or both of the teams in the process of what you said it, Pat, disruption, right? So, I mean, there's a lot of stakeholders. There's a lot of people like when you think about a business, you think about your business, especially built, you know, primarily on trust, on referrals, on a really strong network of past clients who you can count on to refer, you know, the people in their life that mean the most, right? So they're big stakeholders in the success of these businesses. So I think I'll throw it to you, Pat. You know, is in this disruption process, is there a chance to lose your identity in all of this?
I hope so. Actually, I mean, in some ways, yes, I hope so, because the less it's about me and the more it's about the company serving clients. Right? Here's the thing about institutions, is institutions outlive founders. And so either we're building something that's all about me or all about Ryan, or we're building an institution that's all about the people that the institution is built for, which is in our case, clients. So yes, I hope in some ways that it does outgrow me, you know, and we've said this before. I walk down the street and get hit by a bus. Everybody on the team knows how to go take care of their families. That's really important to me. That's really important to Ryan. That's how we built these things. And the way that they help their families is by doing the stuff that we stand for, right? And, you know, in an industry where you've got such a commoditization, I mentioned this commoditization, what does that look like? It looks like people saying, all I need an agent to do is open doors for me. All I need an agent to do is just put together the paperwork for me. All I really need an agent to do is just, you know, show up, you know, get paid too much and just not screw up anything, right? That's sort of the DIY culture. And, you know, there's going to be space for that. There's just like LegalZoom, there's space for LegalZoom. You know, great. You want to put together a weak will? Fine. You go on LegalZoom. But there's also a space for the indispensable attorney who's excellent at what they do, who's so surgically refined at what they do that you can't imagine not working with that person. That's what the teams stand for. And that actually can't happen. You don't develop great surgeons by being the surgeon yourself all the time. You have to be in the business of allowing other people to grow and prosper and actually grow past you. So my goal is that everybody on the team grows way past me. And I know that's what Ryan's been doing as well. I think that's why there's such a great unity of purpose here for us.
Yeah, and to echo what Pat is saying, I mean, when you talk about that disruption or you know, the people, the players in the real estate world that are getting in there they're focused more on usurping that middleman, if you will, and just making it more of a commodity, a transaction-based environment. I think when you have two I guess I can say there's two powerhouse real estate teams coming together that both share that same mindset of a relationship-based, long-term approach, really caring for the client. And in most cases, in all cases, it's making decisions or helping our clients make decisions that are in their best interest, that aren't necessarily for our short-term gain at all. It's all about the client and the client's benefit. And so if you're focused on that relationship aspect, and both of us share that same mindset, so that's the identity that's at our core that doesn't go away. And that's part that, you know, when it's echoed together, you can combine it to build a strong relationship-based organization that really cares for the client and can offer even that much better of a service, because now you're combining the resources, systems, tools, et cetera, just to continue to have an unrivaled real estate experience.
Yeah, I think what's interesting is there's a lot of systems that Ryan's team has had over the years that we haven't had, and we've made different decisions about, like, you know, everything from lead generation. Like, we, in some ways, like, we've got past clients and a great sphere of influence and great business relationships, but we've also had other vehicles that have provided us opportunities to work with people. But those are not incompatible. What would be incompatible? Like, if you're thinking about doing this, you're an agent listening to this, and you're thinking about, you know, merging. Do not do this because it's convenient and you want to take stuff off your plate. Like, that's a really big thing.
Yeah.
You don't do this because it's like, ooh, it's like hiring somebody because you want more of your life back. That doesn't end very well. Like, here, take all this stuff off my plate. I don't want to see it again. No, actually, you're hiring people so you can accelerate your growth and their growth as well. Right. Very different. And the employee feels that way and you feel it. When you have somebody that you're just paying to do a job, well, you might as well just go, you know, outsource the thing, right? But if you're paying, you know, if you're, to use that analogy, if you're bringing somebody in to help accelerate your growth, great. I remember that feeling and hiring my first assistant, saying, listen, we're in this together. I don't know if I'll be able to pay you in 90 days, but if I don't bring you on, I know that I can't grow. So let's go do this together. And that's a micro level. This is a macro level. Ryan, let's go do this together. Let's go continue to innovate and change the client experience. You know, and we were joking about sort of being at this a long time, but we've also got a lot of years ahead of us. My deep desire is to actually change the way that the industry encounters agents. You would ask sort of the question, the legal concept comes into my mind. You know, we've got good friends here in the DC metro area who have been great attorneys on their own, who've gone and joined other big firms and become partners and that sort of thing. And their name goes on the sign. They had a big name on their own. Why did they need to go there? You know, and they didn't need to, but what they knew is that by going to that big firm, that they'd be able to serve even more people and have a deeper impact. And at the end of the day, if your professional life isn't about having a deeper impact on more people, it becomes pretty dissatisfying. And you see a lot of people just kind of throw up their hands after, you know, X number of years, 10, 20 years, and go, you know, this is kind of dissatisfying, I'm done. That's not what that's certainly not been our approach. Our approach is, let's go find even better people. Let's go keep growing. Let's give them a platform for their own professional excellence, and let's keep running the score up.
Definitely. Yeah.
Ryan, did you have something?
Yeah, I was just going to say, from my perspective, it's when I think of what is the goal, what did I want to accomplish going through this merger, and I look at the Kilner Group, and I see what Pat's done through, you know, 15 plus years in the business. At the core, you can correct me if I'm wrong, Pat, but at the core of your company, at the core of your business is the relationships with your database. And I've seen that firsthand, and seen how phenomenal of a job that Pat and the Kilner Group does at taking care of their database. And, you know, I see that that's been like your ultimate strength. And I want more of that for my clients. I want that care to be that much more heightened and approved. And I know enough to know that when someone else is doing something better than I am, and my clients can reap the benefits of that. So just seeing that and knowing that, oh, wow, now my clients will will ultimately get that much better of a service and experience because they have that whole foundation of the relationship side that, that Pat and your the Kilner Group has done phenomenally well over the years. So,
wow, thank you. Getting all teary-eyed.
Yeah, and I would say, not to take words out of Pat's mouth, but you know, and we sort of hinted at the beginning that the you know there are complementing strengths of each team and you guys as individuals leading those teams, and I think that the one thing that has always impressed me about how the Donovan Home team has approached business is how systematic and just
focused
on you know improving the way that they communicate with people, how they get you know on the phone every day and reach out to folks who need the level of service that they provide, right? And that's how systematic and excellent they have been over many you know a duration, not you know 3 months here and there, a duration of time to build their business. And that's something that I think the Kilner Group hasn't had as much of a strength in. So you could see from those different, you know, from those different approaches to lead generation and marketing, they're actually very marginal, you know, very marginal differences, but over many years, they come to different results, right? Both successful, but in different ways. And they're just, because I think each team has aspects of the other, but it's what you focus on, right? That's what leads you to ultimate success. So for agents who are listening to this podcast, I think that there's, if you're going to kind of talk about, if you're going to hit on any buzzwords, you could use the word synergy here. Right?
Yeah. I mean, it's why I think about this every time I walk in the door at home, like, man, I'm so glad that I'm not, you know, that Elena and I aren't the exact same. Like we want to go the same place. We invest deeply into our kids and we're complementary, but radically different. I mean, in pretty much every way. And I'd say we probably have more similarities than differences because in many ways we've been bouncing ideas off each other, Ryan, over the years. And at the same time, we're such different guys as well. Mm-hmm. And we have different leadership styles and we have different ways of approaching our past clients and just different personas, right? I trade better. I know I don't trade as well as Ryan does in certain ways, right? With the market, right? So I'm better in a teaching platform, you know, getting in front of first time home buyers or with investors. But Ryan's going to be much better in just the diligence to make a phone call to that person that he hasn't talked to in a while in his database and just checking in on his clients and that sort of thing. So the complementarity there, and that's why it's all relationships. We approach them differently because we're different people and there's an additive nature to those relationships. And so to echo what Ryan said, you know, it is about finding complementarity and actually being excited about the complementarity of somebody's business. I think oftentimes we're such a competitive market that we look at other people's business and go like, why would they do that? That's so silly. That's, you know, and you sort of make this, you make this judgment call about somebody else's business and you go, well, that's just crazy. Like, why would you spend money that way? Or why would you interact with your folks? That's not us, right? Well, maybe it's not you as an individual, but is it a bad business practice? Absolutely not. So I think you got to be really open to a lot of, again, the sort of the disruption of allowing other people and their ideas into your business. And, and I think, you know, that's as long as you're on the same moral plane and you share, you know, a desire for, you know, for your clients, that's the same, it can work out. And, you know, and it really does take, you know, take both of us to say, I'm not going to be the guy all the time. Mm-hmm. And I'm very comfortable with that.
That's right. Let go of the ego, right? Letting go of that ego just for the greater cause and the greater benefit of those we serve.
Yeah. And I think the people in our organizations as well, like, you know, you don't keep talented people around unless you get out of their way. Mm-hmm. You know, and that's kind of the fun thing about this is like, I'm willing to get out of Ryan's way. He's totally valid as a great professional. And I learned something new from you every day, man. So
I think I think I like what the catchphrase that Ryan just threw out, let go of the ego. Mm-hmm. You know, I think that's Ryan, you know, that's one of the biggest challenges for competitive guys like you merging two high producing teams. You know, there's brand identity. There's things like that you guys have built, right? So that's obviously a pretty unique challenge of something like this. Ryan, could you speak to that and then any other challenges that you have either already faced in this merger or you anticipate facing? And what are some of the solutions you think for getting through those difficulties?
Right. Okay. Great question. I mean, as far as I didn't see any of this as a challenge the way it happened right now. But, you know, like we talked about before, Pat and I have been meeting for, you know, on and off for 15 years. Right. And so there is that as you grow as a professional, I felt a serious change in my internal to let go of that ego and to allow, you know, what's best, what's the best thing for my clients, for the members on the team, for all those that we serve. And so like at the point of the merger, our mindset was clearly, you know, win-win or no deal. And that's the way it's been every time we've met, but it just came to that stage in the process where it's flat out a win-win situation. I don't look at it as any kind of a challenge at this point. I see it's all a benefit to the clients and those we're serving. If I really think about, let's see, what are some of the challenges are, which some people might assume is, okay, now if I have a lead or, you know, who do I contact, things like that, you're always going to contact me just like you did, you know, over the last 5-10 years. And I would put you in the hands of the person that's best qualified to serve you. And now we just have a larger pool, a better pool, a more effective pool of people and systems and operations that I can say, okay, here's your goals, here's your needs. I'm going to put you in the touch with the right person that's going to serve you all the way through with an unrivaled, you know, client experience like we talked about.
Yeah, I mean, and that's you've been in the habit of doing that already, and as have I, and you know, having developed guys like John Kirk, who, you know, John's going to sell more houses than like anybody in the DC metro area this year. It's pretty amazing to see how he's grown, and growing his team within the team with Danny, you know, to have a Cheryl, you know, in the back office has been with us. I mean, she probably had, I don't know, experience on, you know, 4,000 transactions at this point in her career. To have those resources, it's not like, oh, you're getting passed off. And I've never been able to, in good conscience, you know, quote, hand off a lead, you know, and I don't even like to say lead, but hand off a relationship,
right,
that trusts, yeah, me enough, without having somebody who's just totally a specialist at what they, mm-hmm, do. That's why you go to a specialist doctor for a special ailment. And the families we deal with, they're, each one of them has a very special and unique situation. It's not a one size fits all. So we've got a team that is specialized in dealing with that. And the, you know, and not everybody works for either one of our teams. So, you know, we've been, you know, kind of weeding through the right to get to the right people who culturally are the right fit for our clients over the years. So, and we've, because I think we've had the relationship we've had for all these years, we've adopted similar hiring practices, similar leadership practices, similar discernment practices about whether people are the right people after a year or two on the team. It, you know, it's not the right thing for everybody. So, that's it, you know, there's just a great vision alignment there as well.
Yeah. And I would say that, what you mentioned, Pat, is, you know, just discerning the needs of that particular client. I have always found in observing Ryan's team, they've always been very systematic about getting to those really important things, right? And so that allows Ryan
what important things?
The important things for that particular client, right? Mm. About their move, right? What are their financial needs? What are the needs of their family? What is their time frame, right? Mm-hmm. Who do they connect well with, right? And so I think you and Ryan have really honed in on that. And Ryan, in a very systematic way, to be able to say, when a client comes to him, who he knows, right? He's had experience with, right? He's able to really connect with that person in an incredibly caring way, but also that's purposeful. You know, he's not doing this by accident. He's not just a super charismatic guy. Like
you are charismatic as well.
Yeah, you're charismatic. But as a fiduciary, he's built a system, right, that serves those people from the initial conversation, right? And he's not like you get to it at the end. It's like I'm here. You're calling me because you have a need, right? Mm-hmm. And you know we are honored to have this business, right? And so I'm going to immediately, you know, put my system to work for you.
Yeah.
Right. So, and I think that works really well in a merger.
Yes.
Where you have lots of players, right? You have, you know, new admins and old admins and, you know, someone who specializes in this area and someone who specializes in that area, right? If you've honed these skills, you are, like you said, Pat, not just handing people off, right? You're
doing better by them.
Yeah.
You're doing better by them.
Absolutely. You're figuring out who is that focused, because both of you guys are focused on leading the organization, right? Like kind of said it before, like you're the board members, right? So you have to lead the organization. And so you can make sure that relationship is entrusted to someone who is specialized in just those types of things.
Yeah. I want to circle back on something real quick, just to sort of, I don't want to pump the brakes on it entirely, but for agents, I think it's interesting for agents who may be considering this as well, that, you know, we've talked about like the vision alignment, super important first domino. That's really important. Second is, you know, people that you're comfortable being in the room with and disrupting with, and you have enough respect for them and enough humility yourself to take that sort of that productive conflict that's necessary to move forward. I'd say the third thing that you were able to bring to me, Mike, because you wear the COO hat, was the systems that we didn't even know that we were missing that Ryan's team had. So unity and leadership, you know, disruptive, you know, productive conflict, all important stuff. That's the base of any great relationship, any great organization. Then the systems, I mean, what they've brought to the table in terms of the research that they did and then going and getting stuff that, you know, beautiful marketing online, great systems behind that. I mean, the back end systems for that is just, it's been fantastic, which is complemented by our marketing department. So what it did is what they had in their website and in their back end process for staying in touch with all the important people.
The automation
was fantastic. Yeah. Plug that into the talent that we already have on the team. And like, she's like a kid in a candy shop. Like she can't believe that we just gave her these tools.
By she,
awesome.
We mean Veronique.
Yeah.
Our director of automation.
And she's like, she comes to us all every day. I was like, this is amazing. I'm so happy that I've got this. Right. And she's just systematically going through that. And so I think that's the other thing you want to be looking for is how can you mate together the right talent with the right systems? And because we've got pretty robust organizations coming together, sort of breaking down, you know, making the list of all of the stuff that they have, all the stuff that we have and bring to the table, you can start to connect things. It's almost like, you know, like a kid's matching game. And we started connecting things and went, oh, that's an efficiency. We actually ended up saving money by upgrading services and outsource stuff as a result of that process as well.
Yeah.
I would say you ended up saving us money because you looked at it that way, and that's your job. But that I think is important.
That and podcast interviewer.
Naturally, yes.
I'm going to add that to my business card.
Who knew you were such a tremendous podcast interviewer? So just wanted to throw that in there. I'm sorry to derail, but that's.
But it's not just about the saving of the money. It's about, like, you wouldn't do that if it didn't provide either a more streamlined or better service to the client or for the overall operation, and it 100% does. Wouldn't you agree?
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah. And so from my seat, I think that a merger like this, it brings every discipline of, you know, a business owner to bear, right? So for me, it's operational efficiency. It's, increasing profitability through that efficiency. It is which system gives us the best return on investment, not just in terms of hard dollars out the door, but in the time spent, you know, of our admins spent doing things, right, for that return. And for you guys, the disciplines of leadership, the disciplines of managing relationships, right, with extreme care and trust, right, managing expectations, right, communicating extremely well the value to both of your sets of clients and stakeholders, right? So I think it's it is such a unique sort of special thing to get a window into, because it really is multidisciplinary. It really takes everyone's sort of best effort and experience and skills in what they're, you know, what they're trained in to make it happen.
And I think it's really unique to have, you know, a CFO. Oftentimes teams don't have a CFO or an ops person. So you've been fundamental, Mike, in helping this. It's not about you, but it is kind of about you. You know, fundamental to making this happen. And I think the thing that started across my mind as you laid this out we laid this out together was, gosh, what is the opportunity cost of not doing this? Like, think about where our organizations will be in 5 years. What is the delta that we are saying no to if we don't do this merger? At a certain point, you shift to that. I think as a business owner, you're always looking at, okay, what's the cost? What's the hard cost of this? What's the opportunity cost of not being in business with the right talent? What's the opportunity cost of not having the right leaders around the table? What's the opportunity cost of not disrupting your business today in 5 years? By the way, the market's not stagnant. It's going to keep innovating. So what's the opportunity cost of not having the right minds around the table to do that? It can cost you your business. And it could cost the livelihoods of a lot of people that we've promised, hey, we're going to take care of your families as well. So to me, the opportunity cost of not being in business with Ryan, way too big.
Exactly.
Well said. Well said. So I want to wrap it up. We could go on for, and I know Pat, you could go on for days and days.
That's why I have you
on really any topic. Doesn't actually matter what it is.
What's the opportunity cost of not continuing to talk?
But I do think I want to put this out there. And I didn't tell you guys about this, but I want to put this out there that I think that any one of us would be happy to talk to either agents who are thinking about doing a merger like this, right? And we can get even more into sort of the nitty gritties of what it looks like and some of the things that we ran across in the initial, you know, merger and changing over systems and things like that and managing expectations. We would be happy to talk about any of these things.
Yeah. I mean, it's like, by the way,
I volunteered both of you.
No, well, thank you. Yeah. And I'll delegate that to you when the call comes in. Thanks. No.
I am probably will too.
But no, absolutely. Happy to chat with people. Here's the thing. Your multiple listing service does not know what to do when you merge a team. There's all sorts of stupidity that you've got to deal with.
Yeah.
There will be hurdles that you had no idea. Zillow has no idea how to deal with this, right? You want to merge a team. Okay, fantastic. that they don't have a protocol for that. So you're pushing the envelope. It's got to be important enough for you to be willing to jump through the hoops to make it happen.
Yeah.
So understand that, you know, those levels of things that we've discussed in terms of vision and disruption and systems and talent and vision for the future, you know, for the future of your stakeholders. You mentioned stakeholders. I think our focus of stakeholders is very much on the people here at Kilner Group now, and how do we accelerate their careers as a result of what we're doing. If we can't say that this accelerates their careers, then it's a no-go. It's not just a win for me and a win for Ryan. It's a win. It has to be a bigger win for those people. It's not that we can't move forward. And that's that I think has become really clear. When we decided to start our own brokerage, we said, the only way we do this, we looked at different franchises. The only way that we do this is if it's great for the administrative staff and their families. If you can answer that, and I think from a team building standpoint, if you can answer that, I'm going to invest in this technology and it's going to be good for the lowest level person in my organization, then you're good to go. If you can't answer that affirmatively, then you stop spending on it. You know, don't do that.
Yeah.
Because you owe it to them. The second that you hire that person, you owe it to them to take care of them that way. So I want to leave you with that, because this is not for the sort of faint of heart. We see a lot of quote mergers where it's way too early as well, and it's a marriage of convenience, mm-hmm. not a marriage of acceleration.
Yeah, and they're usually not mergers. They're usually partnerships.
Yeah.
You know, two agents decide to partner up. That's fine. I mean, if you can see it, but like that early on in your careers, that's what it would have been. Would have been a partnership.
Rather than, hey, can you cover me building, for me while I'm on vacation?
Building that's these like parallel big brands and companies with their own, you know, systems and their own, you know, organizational histories in parallel.
Yeah.
So, well, thank you guys. Thank you, Pat. Thanks, Ryan, for taking the time. And
you got it. Thank you for having me.
Yeah. And I guess we will leave it there until next week.